and Sarah. Let's just pray for them. Guys, I don't know about you. New year. I'll tell you what happened with regards to this morning. I was to split chapter 10 last. If you want to turn to chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, I was to split that last time I preached, but I wanted to do the whole thing. I wanted to go through it. That's just how I felt. And it has given me an opportunity to reflect back on chapter 10 with regards to reflecting about what it looks like for the in the new year. And I don't know about you, but I do a lot of talking. And it can sometimes just be talk and end up as nothing more but talk. I mean, this year, in 2020, I was supposed to be able to run a 5K. I think I was aiming round about the 22-minute mark. I know that's bad for some of you, very good for others. Or I was hoping to get there as close as possible. Heather could blow me out of the water, could you, Heather, there, with regards to that there, 5K. I'm nowhere near it. I probably went out 10 times in the whole year and then just basically stopped. With regards to my Christian input, with regards to my spiritual life, I set aside, if you go in, I've got a wee room where I keep all the books. I have a stack of books, and every year I'm going to work my way through them, and I just don't. I've probably read 3 or 4 pages of every single one of them, but I haven't ever gone through any of them. Certainly when it comes to my prayer life, I have these great aspirations and so forth. So I do a lot of talking. And if I can be as bold to say, I think we as Christians in our throughout the year can do a lot of talking as well. And we know, certainly I know what I should be doing, what would be good for me. But whether I do it or not, whether I put it in practice is just another matter. And I think year after year, I can look back and think, oh, look at the things I failed at. Look at the things I wanted to achieve and I've never got around to achieve. In the way that I wanted to serve God and I never got around and had time in order to serve God. And as we go through the book of Corinthians, as I was kind of flicking through it again and preparing for this morning, I was looking at the start, the word sanctification, about how the Christians in Corinth, they were to become more and more Christ-like. We looked at words such as spiritual maturity. Last week we looked at becoming all things to all people in order to win them for Christ. We continuously talk about how the church, no matter what differences you have, that we should be united under Christ. And all of us agreed with that. I agreed with it. Few of you were nice enough to give me a bit of encouragement, you know, when we've been speaking on it. But then I thought, what changes has it made? What does it mean? When we look at becomes all things to all people in order to win them for Christ, what did I say? What did you say? These are the changes that I'm therefore going to make in order to become all things to all people because I want to win them for Christ. Or was it just lip service? For me as well as for you, I hope you understand, this isn't me preaching at you. This is us collectively as the Bridge Church, who has a heart for the lost, who has a heart for people in Strabane, who has a heart for your neighbours wherever you live. What is it in 2020 that you and I developed, that we changed, that we took a step to become more like Christ in order that we may expand this church as people are won over to Christ? Or has 2020 become just like 19, 18, 17, 16, and it's just drifted by? No advancement, no development, no spiritual maturity. I agree with it. Everything that's been said. And do you know what? On the Sundays, your heart's pounding and you can sing songs like that and you say, yeah, I really mean it. And then we walk out the door and nothing's changed. Or very little has changed, maybe, let's just say. Maybe it has in your life, and I was actually thinking we should have a moment of, I would love to give a Sunday over to testimonies, just to hear what God is doing in people's lives for transformation. But certainly for me, as I was reflecting, and this is more of a reflection maybe than anything, because as I was thinking of the church in perspective and my own life, I was looking at rereading chapter 10 and it said, stop playing around with idols. So what we had there last week, I don't want to go back into it for those people who are here. I don't want to repeat myself too much. But that we had a group of Christians that Paul was writing to in the church of Corinth. And they were part of the church. And they would participate in the Lord's prayer, that they would in the Lord's table. They would declare that they were following God. And then during the week, they would go out to other temples and worship other idols as well. And they thought they were free in order to expose themselves to other idols, things within the world, because they said, it's okay because on the Sunday, I tick that box. So therefore, I'm safe. I'm immune. I'm in the security of Jesus. I am one of God's chosen children because of what I did there on the Sunday. So it's okay really how I live the rest of the week. And Paul wrote to them and said, listen, you're foolish if you believe that, because look at the example of the Israelites. They too experienced God's goodness. They too experienced God's mercy as he led them out of Egypt, and yet they continued to turn away from God, choosing the desires of their own hearts. And what happened to them? Someone tell me what happened to them. It says in verse 5, you're right, it says there in verse 5 there, it says, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They never entered into the land. God was not happy with them. And we're to turn from all of these things. We're stopped to playing around entertaining idols. And as far as I'm concerned, everyone agreed when I preached. So now is the Sunday that I'm asking you, okay, so from that, if we're told to flee from our idols, if that's the warning that we were given, what have you done from now to the 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago that we opened up God's word and we heard this? What have you changed? We can't participate in the Lord's table, declaring to follow God, and in our daily lives, desire other things within our hearts, such as the money, such as being open to watching pornography, such as laziness, materialism, TV, social media, sports, whatever it may be, things that will keep us during the week. All the desires that I had, reading, praying, meeting with others, loving others, serving others, what are the things that are keeping me from that? That are my real heart's desires? And is it just lip service, or am I going to change things in my life through the strength of the Holy Spirit? Am I going to surrender things to God? And we talked about how we can't have feet in both camps. And I think that describes a lot of Christians. I've got the Sunday morning camp, I've got my Christian foot in, but do you know what? I've also got the worldly camp. And Paul writes to us and says, you're in danger of being left out in the wilderness. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And he's warning us. As I said, since hearing these words, what have we changed? Is 2021 going to be yet another year where we declare we're worshipping God, and yet there's going to be very little change within our lives as we still continue to follow other idols? We've been taught over the last few months that we as a church should be totally united in making Jesus known. That should unite. So it's not about your agenda or my agenda, that there shouldn't be any bickering, there shouldn't be any fighting over things that basically aren't eternal, but we should be totally focused. We heard when Clive spoke last, it's the things that are unseen, the things that are eternal that matter, and that's what we should be united upon, that we should be fixing our eyes upon Jesus and Jesus alone. And yet, how many conversations have we had over the last number of weeks that potentially could have caused division, which is about advancing your own personal agenda, things that you think should be happening that are wrong? I have mentioned this to a lot of people. I think 2021 is going to be a great year for the Bridge. I'm not a prophet, so don't read that anything more than my thoughts, okay? But I really do. I think this is going to be a healthy, challenging year for the Bridge. Throughout the history of the Bridge Church, when we were at our most vulnerable is when we saw the most growth. And I think things are going to change this year of changing in leadership and the commitment financially with regards to supporting someone on a full-time ministry, with all the changes that they were kind of like talking about, that it's good not to be stale. It's good to be talking about what the next step is in order to follow our mission statement, to know Jesus and to make him known. But as I'm saying these things, what would be wrong is if next year is going to be exactly the same as this year. It would be something wrong if there weren't advances in your own life, if there wasn't spiritual maturity in your own life. If we finished 2021 the same as we're now finishing 2020, there's something wrong, people. And that's what I'm trying to share with you this morning. It's easy to drift from one year to the next, agreeing with everything that's said. But I want to see fruit grow within this church. I want to see fruit grow within my own life and within the members of this church here. In one of the big stack of books, I noticed just there the other day, one of the toppest one was the C.S. Lewis one, Screwtape Letters. I don't know if you've ever read it. If you haven't, please do. In fact, Timothy doesn't know this. I made a commitment this morning that we're going to read this book this year, me and you, Screwtape Letters. In fact, I've got a copy. If anyone wants a copy, I'll give you a copy. It's brilliant. And it's basically about the... It's along the storyline, but a letter from demons to the demons about how crafty and subtle that they can be. And I was thinking about that as well coming to this morning. I was thinking about how clever and subtle Satan is. That he'll never really go out and declare, hey, there is no God. That's too obvious. It's too straight. We can see that warning and we'll be able to say, no, that's from the devil, and be able to see it for exactly, yeah, as I said, what it is. But he's far more subtle than that. Because I think Satan is totally fine with you being here this morning. I think Satan's totally fine with me preaching here this morning. He's fine with you singing those words. He's fine with you meaning the words whenever you pray. He's fine with you agreeing with whatever it is preached. He's even happy whenever you do participate in the Lord's table, as they did in chapter 10. You can declare that you follow Jesus. As long as you follow other things during the week as well, he's happy enough. As long as there are other things that will prevent you from being all out for Jesus, then he's happy. Yes, yes, love Jesus. That's fine. But as long as you've got other idols, as long as it's not Jesus and Jesus alone, Satan is content with the way that you're living your life. I think he's content because through the teachings of this scripture here, he knows the consequences of that, of the Israelites being left out in the wilderness. Paul knew, the Apostle Paul knew the consequences as well, which is why he wrote this letter to the church. So people, are you listening? I want you to flee from your idols. I want you to flee because of the dangers. For the sake of your own salvation, root out, flee, get rid of the things that are distracting you from God. Run from them. I totally forgot how to PowerPoint. I always do. Let me read verses 14 and 22 of chapter 10. Brian, if you can flick that forward, I'm going to read from the scriptures here. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourself what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? You see how we're united under the body of Christ as we participate in the Lord's table? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. Listen, people, verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So we've looked at the consequences, and Paul tells them and warns them, listen, you can't do both things because of the warning that he gave us of God was not pleased with many of them. This warning is as relevant today as it ever has been. So we're going to take a little time out this morning with regards to, okay, so then what is it? What are these changes that God's talking about? We're going to have a moment of reflection in a little while with regards to what is it that God is asking you to get rid of or to dedicate yourself to in 2021 to keep you on the path of salvation. What is it you're going to surrender to God in order that we can glorify him for keeping us out of the wilderness and for bringing us home? What is it this morning I'm asking you that the devil is using in order to prevent you from being about Christ and Christ alone? And in order to do that, I was reading Psalm 90. If you have a Bible, please turn to Psalm 90. I don't have it up, but I would like us to read it together. This psalm here, whenever I was reading it, I thought it was amazing that I discovered it because of how relevant it is to chapter 10 in 1 Corinthians. It's basically about the Israelites. They were about to cross the Jordan River, and they were going to enter into the promised land. And these parents, they had followed Moses out of Egypt, that God had rescued them. They'd gone through, they'd experienced the miracles of going through the Red Sea. And yet, of course, we've learned about how their parents, they rebelled against God, so then God swore that they would never enter the land. And whenever I read up about this, the commentator said about this psalm, the Israelites, in order to accomplish their mission and for God to establish the work of their hands, would require the people to embrace the covenant and live in faith towards God. And I was thinking, I want this church to embrace the covenant and to live in faith towards God. So I want us to read this psalm together about the warning towards the Israelites. You'll notice that up on the screen there, I've broken it down. That comes directly from the ESV translation. This is it. Might be healthy then. Verses 1 to 2, it's going to be talking about how God always exists, how he's the eternal God. In 3 to 6, it talks about man's life is fleeting, about how we were our life is very quick. 7 to 11, we are brought to an end by his wrath for those people who don't follow him and follow other idols. And 12 to 17, that it's a prayer to God in order to teach us to be wise and to establish our works for his glory. So let's read Psalm 90 together. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, and in the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities, that's your sin, before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80. If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And the reason I was thinking about this verse, if you look at verse 8, when I was talking about things that we need to change, things that God wants to reveal to us, to root out, to flee from, it says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. And that's what I'm looking for this morning. That was the prayer for my own heart this week. What secret sins? What are the sins that I'm even unaware of that is preventing me from being all out for Christ? And then, of course, the well-known verse in verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We have an opportunity, God willing, in 2021. You have an opportunity in 2021. In order that God can teach you to number your days, that you make an opportunity of every single day in order not to advance yourself, but to gain the heart of wisdom, to be used by Him, to be in order to make Jesus known. And I'm asking at the beginning of this year, which one is it going to be? I want to read one more verse from Ephesians 5, verses 16. No, I don't. I want to read more of it. I reread it this morning, okay? I've only got two verses up there, but I wanted to read everything. Ephesians 5, don't turn to it. Just listen to it. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Now, remember, don't get pinned down, or that means you don't drink. No, that means don't get involved in other sin that will pull you away from Christ. That's just an overall thing, not just on the drink, but anything. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. How I'd love to, in 2021, that we as a church can sing and make music within our hearts. I have to do it in my heart because I can't do it vocally. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity this morning to turn from the unwise to get to the wise, to become spiritually mature. And is this the year that you're going to squander? It's going to be like every other year? Or is this going to be a year that you're going to make the opportunity, you're going to declare before God to use? I think verse 12 for me is, whenever it says, teach us to number our days, that's not basically just saying, Lord, may I fear, when is death going to come upon us or anything like that? But it's asking us simply, how are you going to use your time? Because time is really valuable, because we don't understand how short it is. And what are you going to do? Are you going to edge your heart towards a heart of wisdom here? Or is it one, another year going to go by when it's wasted? The Israelites that we learned about in that were mentioned in chapter 10 there of Corinthians, you know, they were left out in the wilderness because they were happy, as I said, with God, but they were also wanting to follow their idols. I was thinking about, they were probably like God plus people. They were God plus money, God plus TV, God plus popularity, God plus it's okay for me to be bitter, God plus a bit of pornography, God plus laziness when I can't be bothered to do things, God plus my own aspirations. And the psalmist here in verse 90 is, as I said, it is warning us in order to number our days, not just for the sake of being feared, but actually that we may have a heart of wisdom. We might be mindful of the things that are unseen, and mindful of the things that are eternal, instead of us being so unwise and fixed upon things that are just going to rust and break and end. Will we flee from the distractions of this world? Whenever we come to this moment of reflection about what you think God's asking you in order to do, I was thinking, what is the difference between what I'm declaring this morning, the advances I want to make in my spiritual maturity, to every other New Year's resolution, such as running a 5K in a particular time, which I am going to break again this year. I'm not going to keep it. I know that already. What is the difference? And to me, the difference is the way that we value the gospel, if you value the gospel. J.C. Ryle said this, a low and feeble sense of sin will produce a low and feeble sense of the value of salvation. A slight sense of God's debt, or debt to God, will always be attended by a slight sense of what we owe for our redemption. It is the man who feels much forgiven is the man who loves much. Amen. So the real question this morning isn't, what is it you're going to change? But how much do you value the gospel? How much do you really value the price that Jesus paid? Because that's going to determine how you and I live in 2021. The way that you and I treat and value the gospel will ultimately determine how I live my life and how you live your life in 2021. Whenever I was thinking about my own, what can I change, or what is it that I want to promise before God in order to do in 2021, I came across an article about the theological leader Jonathan Edwards. And Jonathan Edwards, he made 70 New Year's resolution, if you want, or whatever the word is, 70 every year. I'm not asking for 70, I'm asking for one. And he asked himself three questions whenever he stopped to think about a coming year. He says, right, do I want to glorify, don't think I've got them up. No. Do I want to glorify God or glorify myself? And that's a really important question, people, because that if you're not careful, the goals that you set yourself can subtly edge towards yourself. You know, whenever it comes to fitness, or whenever it comes to finances, or whenever it comes to, you know, whatever it may be, it's a case of, is this to advance God? Is this to glorify Him? Or is it to benefit myself? And then, of course, I related that back, as I'm trying to do, with 1 Corinthians and verse 33, whenever Paul says, listen, I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that many may be saved. You understand, Paul's motivation wasn't to bring glory to himself, it was to glorify God, so that many may be saved. The second question he asked himself is, does it help me to accomplish my mission? That's a really big question. What is your mission? What is your purpose in 2021? Again, is it going to revolve around yourself, or is it to know Jesus and to make Him known? Because that's going to determine the goals you set yourself. And the third one, which is really important, is how will I stay consistent? Because if you're anything like me, you know it's not good. It's not enough to have good intentions, but we're going to actually have to come up with a specific plan. A new habit. So if it's a case of my prayer life is awful and I want to communicate and speak to God more and have a time in order that I can also listen to Him, we can't just say that. When is it going to happen? You're going to have to turn off your phone, because when that pings or makes a sound, you're distracted. You're going to have to take steps in order to put into practice changes for 2021. I was even thinking of the acronym. Some of you heard of SMART. Do you know SMART? This is what I set myself, you know, with the guys, that it's got to be specific. Whatever you set yourself, it's got to be, I had to write it down because I remember, it's got to be measurable. So you've got to know if it's to do with reading the Bible or to prayer or whatever it may be. You've got to know, in 6 months, have I achieved this? It's got to be achievable. So for some people who aren't readers, to suddenly say, right, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the whole Bible this year. Well, that's maybe not achievable for some people. So don't set yourself that target. Set yourself a target that's realistic. It's got to be time-bound, so you want to be able to finish it in some ways. But these are some of the things, I don't know if you can hear them, read them, sorry. And you can shout them out. I read some, I normally give social media a great bashing, but I think it was a great thing. I see Claire here this morning. You wrote onto how you and Dean have reviewed, you set out objectives last year, was it, in 2020? And then you're able to see how, whether you've achieved them or focus your minds on them. I thought that was a really good thing to do. And it was good that you put that on social media in order to say something positive about social media, because it spoke to me. said, oh, where am I going with this? And what are my goals? What are my aspirations? Have I met them? So forth. I know in some engaged groups, they are setting themselves tasks to read the Bible. Is this, is that right? Shout out, Jack, what's yours? You are going to read. So the very example I used was unrealistic, is the very same one that you said you're going to do. I am so limited.
But you can listen to it.
But you can listen to it. I like the listening to it. So you can make the dinner and you can also listen to it. Excellent idea. Listen, this isn't me preaching here. This is me just talking to you. That's a, see, for me, audible books were created for me. I'm telling you, people, I am the biggest non-reader you've ever met in your life. They were meant for me. And it is brilliant. I can do whatever that I'm doing and listen to audible books, whatever. They are brilliant. Make use of them. But these are the sort of things I'm just talking about. Simple steps that we can put into our lives. Random things. If it comes to your prayer life and you think, well, you know, I'm pants at prayer. What do I do? Well, what about it? Pick one person to pray over. For the first 6 months of this year, someone at work, a family member, someone who's not saved, because your heart will develop and you'll do more. You'll start, you'll see the transformation. You'll do more than just pray to them. You'll eventually start to witness to them. You will. Pick one person, pray for that person. The Bible reading, we talked about it. If you can't do the whole Bible in 1 year, pick one New Testament book, one Old Testament book. That's it. Pick that if you've never done it before. Read one book for the whole year. For my own thing, I have, I've set myself this year two books, one for the first 6 months and one for the second. I think it's a realistic target. Yeah. One of them's going to be a biography, William Tyndale. I'm going to read that. Started that there on the 1st of January, and that's going to be, if I complete that by the summertime, I'm on target. Attend an engage group. Committing yourself to say, do you know what? I'm going to commit myself to the engage group. I'm not going to go just whenever it suits me or whatever. I'm going to commit myself to a spiritual family. What a target to have. Quite a simple one. Will impact you and other people's lives. Serve, love others. Pick a colleague. You know, wives, I'm going to love my husband more. Husbands, I'm going to love my wife better. Parents, listening, Timothy, I'm going to want my parents better. You hear that, Leah? Yeah.
You left the kids off there.
Left the kids.
You left the kids off the list. Was that on purpose?
Well, yeah, we don't have to love the kids more. It's just Christmas time. They've been spoilt rotten for the last week, so you can't. You pick a person. Love them more. Love them better. Serve them more. What about pride? I mean, a lot of us who are pride don't even know we're full of pride. So we need to say, God, show me. And if it's pride, if you keep drawing things to yourself, say, that's something that I'm going to release. Maybe you're a gossiper and you say, do you know what? That's one thing that I'm going to work on this year. I'm going to stop gossiping. Release of money. Maybe you struggle to give to this church in order to pursue this mission, or you struggle to just to bless other people without it and say, do you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have a target of some sort. I'm going to say, I want to be released of this year. That's what God's going to release, work in your heart this year. Encourage other people. Encourage other. It's amazing when you get one text, one word from someone. It really edifies and builds up the church. Maybe you're a negative person, a critical person. You say, that's something I'm going to stop, and I'm going to turn to encourage. Connect Week, I was thinking, listen, we have a Connect Week at this church. Obviously, coronavirus has blown out the window, the sea for a moment. But, you know, whenever that opens up, I'm going to invite three people this year, different times. I'm going to cook something for them. And it doesn't have to be anything. Someone came to our house and just spotted them. Kerry normally cooks because she does something better than me. And I said, no, invite them around. And I did spaghetti bolognese. That's all I did. Opened up a packet, put the mince into spaghetti, and it was great. Just have them round. Have a target of how many times. Join a ministry team. People on the door, the music team. You know, there's loads of things that are going to start up. Elevate. There's things that as soon as coronavirus is up, you can, behind the bar, there's the creche, the Sunday school. There's loads of areas you can, there's an outreach team. If you're not involved in anything, say, I want to get involved in something this year. I want to serve.
Where am I? Find out more about the persecuted church. We talk about it a lot. Maybe you only hear about it on the Sunday. Find out more about it. That could be, you could couple that with one book you're going to read this year. Frontline Missions. Get it on the Audible. You know, it's fine. Say next time there's a mission team, I'm going on it. Disciple a young person. Would be a great thing to do. Stop watching inappropriate material. Maybe that's what God's confronting you on, saying, do you know what? I'm going to have to learn to turn this off. Join the SU for those people who are younger, whether you're off to going to university or whether you're in school and you're not part of it sort of thing, and say, do you know, that's one thing that I'm going to do. Just like people are committed to the Engage groups, I want to be committed to a Christian organization in school or university, wherever it is. Turn off the TV, turn off your phone. Turn off whatever it is in order that you may spend time with God, whatever it is that's stopping and preventing you spending time. These are random thoughts. Discuss them in your Engage group maybe more. There might be something more specific to you. But my question is, are you going to do one of them? I'm not saying loads. Pick one of them. That's a realistic expectation. In order that you will know Jesus better at the end of 2021, in order that the people around you will know Jesus better, because you've been on mission. There's something wrong if we don't pick something. So we're going to spend a moment of reflection now, and you're going to ask God to reveal to you. You're going to pick something, and what I want you to do is make a commitment to God. Please don't walk out of here with an empty mind. Pick something. Be specific. If you've got a partner, your husband or wife, share it with them. Share it with your family. It's great when you're being held accountable. It really is, because it means you have to do it. When they know what you've promised. Oh, Kerry, I said I was going to love you more. Well, she'll hold me accountable for that one. No, that's unrealistic, because I'll never meet her expectations. Do you understand? Any comments? Any other suggestions? Anything that they want to share that maybe you did do or you were able to do? I know I've just thrown it upon you. It's the worst thing ever to do because no one ever speaks. But I do want you to say one thing. I want God to work through your lives to establish his church. I love that psalm. I love the psalm, you know, that we read there, Psalm 90. Let me just, before I ask Dan and the team to come up here, okay? This is what I was mesmerized. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. That means you and I are called to do something. We're not sitting there just praying, God, do something here, whatever. That doesn't involve me. God, may you bless the work of our hands, of the work that I'm involved in. So if you and I aren't physically involved in something in 2021, we are not following Scripture. And Paul says there's a warning with that. So the team's going to come up now. They're going to play. They're going to play a new song to you. You're going to sit. Brian, if you can show through the words as they're doing it, though. We're not to sing. This is an opportunity now for you to make a commitment to God, to pick one thing within your lives. How is it you want God to work through you and transform you? And you can use it as a prayerful reflection. You can read the words and use it and just worship God. You can just pray and just ask God to reveal the secret sins that was part of that psalm there within you that maybe you're unaware of. But I want us to pick one thing that we are going to ask God's help for, that we're going to surrender to God in order to see 2021 be used for him to bless the work of this church.